This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Coming up a little bit later on tonight, Beer Talk Live will be happening at 10:30 Eastern Time.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
That's happening with Captain Kickass here, Pickles Mountaineer, and Nobody will be joining as well tonight, we expect. This will be episode 20-something, 27,
28.
Yeah, you guys have crossed the half-year threshold, so congratulations
crossed
on
the
that.
Rubicon.
Right, thank you.
And it is a show that is kind of like Free Talk Live, except without all those pesky FCC regulations standing in the way of what you guys can say.
Less commercials, too.
There are no commercials on that.
FCC, well, unless we decide to be what you tell me.
Indeed, and it would be something you can access only on our video streaming platforms, one of which would be Odyssey, and you can find it over at watch.freetalklive.com. So mark your calendar for 10:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. About a half an hour after our radio show ends, Beard Talk Live will begin. Again, that's watch.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. Ricky is in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, and the same to the other gentleman. Well, I have been paying attention to Congresswoman Green ever since she was elected. And when it comes to her, she is a person that says a lot of things that are either inaccurate or stupid. And when I use the word stupid, I mean the sense of lacking of intelligence and common sense.
Oh, so she's a politician.
But she's an extreme example. And here's the reason why, Ian. Because when it comes to what she's saying, separating blue from red, and there's a couple problems with all of this. First of all, demographics change. That's number one. So you're going to be shifting people around.
People are already shifting around.
Yeah, but
people are already voluntarily leaving places that they don't feel like they fit in, and they're moving to places where they feel more comfortable, where they feel like they're around people that have a set of values that reflects theirs. That's already happening.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of this experiment. Like, if you now, I'm no, you know, constitutionalist or anything, but in the original conversations that they were having, that was the point. Was that okay? Well, if you don't like it here, if you get along over there, then go over there.
It's called voting with your feet.
Exactly, and we still trade with them. They're still part of our culture, but you can go be around people that you get along with better.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's saying that people are going to be put on buses against their will and shipped to places they don't want to be, but there's a lot of people from a lot of different places that are migrating on their own volition. What's wrong with that?
And let's be clear here. People from Texas and Washington State have been whining for the last decade or two about the influx of people moving there from California, because California is, well, everything California.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, also, the other issues, too, that couple with this is the reasoning of wokeness. What the problem with that is part of the big woke problem is people that are gays or lesbians. And what it comes down to, Ian, first of all, there are gays and lesbian Republicans in Congress, and then also at state level. And the reality is, you know, the whole thing is flawed in the sense.
What do gays and lesbians have to do with that?
Because she wants to stop wokeness. See, she's an opportunist.
But what do gays and lesbians have to do with that?
Because that's part of what they call wokeness. There are these extreme Republicans. You know, and there's a lot of other things they consider that. There's a list.
You know, there are gay Republicans, right? Like
right in Congress.
No, there's actually like a group of gay Republicans that aren't in Congress.
Oh, yeah,
I think they're called the Log Cabin Republicans or something like that. So, I don't understand what that has anything to do with the idea of national divorce.
Well, because, you see, the problem is the way she's presenting it. See, I'm looking at it that this is probably going to come and go. Now, there is supposedly people that are with her on this.
Man, let's hope not. We're going to shoot each other.
On this.
Okay.
She's really being an opportunist, I think, that gave her the idea, because I saw the same thing coming weeks ago with the whole thing going on in schools and things like
that. So I just want to clarify what you're saying here, Ricky, because you're kind of being a little obtuse. Are you saying that people like Melanie, or whatever the hell her name is, Marjorie Taylor Greene, are going to persecute gays if they get their way?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, then they probably don't like it. Then those gay Republicans probably won't move to the states where she lives.
I don't see this ever going anywhere because the way she's presenting it. But what it does do is what you were saying. It does start the discussion, and I'm going to sit back and watch how this develops, but I'm getting very close to calling my rep in my district and having a little discussion about secession.
Ooh. Yeah, well, you should do that. Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. And I think a lot of people should do that.
Sorry, he's just now getting close
to it.
Just get it. I'm not going to do it yet. Like, that doesn't really wield you any power, calling your rep one time, because you're almost that's just...
They're probably not going to talk to you either way, right? Like, you can call your...
You're going to leave a voicemail for your representative.
Yeah.
You're getting close.
You'll talk to the representative's gatekeeper, their secretary. That's all you're going to get.
The revolutionary act of leaving a voicemail for your rep.
Right.
Now, if you lived in New Hampshire, on the other hand, then your representative would actually be accessible.
That is true.
Because we have hundreds of them.
Correct.
And not that many people living here.
And they have no secretary.
Right.
You can literally call them on their cell phone or at their home phone number. That's what's listed on the state website. You can reach out directly to them.
And when he's talking about, I don't think this is going to go anywhere, what do you mean? So do you mean the way she's talking about it? Yeah, you're probably right.
The way she's talking about it,
this probably won't go anywhere because she doesn't really seem to know what she's talking about anyway. But that's the thing. You don't own an idea. And now that it's been introduced to the national conversation, it can go somewhere else.
Pinkless and I were talking during the break about, I am a big fan of secession, independence, whatever you want to talk about this thing, whatever word you want to use to surround this
separation.
Thing. Peaceful separation. I don't remember my point. We were talking about, it's not the way I wanted it to be all over the news.
Sure.
But I'll take it.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Right. I will take it, and we will run with it, because it's about time people started talking about this and even batting it, between your loved ones, your family, your friends, your coworkers, whatever it is. You should be talking about this, and please continue to do so.
Well, and how many times have ideas whose time has come have been ridiculed by the powers that be?
That
can never happen. That's
you're
impossible.
Crazy.
Yes, you're crazy to think about that it's even possible.
That's illegal.
Yeah, and right. And
you can't send mail over wires connected to every building.
Man will never fly. So there's some of the pushback here. So let's just talk about a little bit of this. From The Week, former GOP...
Is this the W-E-E-K or the W-E-A-K?
That joke was made last night, and it's a good one.
Okay.
Nobody beat you to a punch.
As he likes.
But former GOP Rep. Liz Cheney from Wyoming, who served as the vice chair of the House Select Committee on January 6th, replied to Green's proposal by reminding her of its illegality, telling her to, quote, review some of the governing principles of America. She tweeted at Green that, quote, our country is governed by the Constitution. You swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. Secession is unconstitutional. No member of Congress should advocate secession, Marjorie.
Man, our government hasn't been governed by the Constitution in my lifetime. That's a fact.
No doubt. And obviously the Constitution, you can go down the list of the amendments. You can see that they're violating them wholesale.
The desire to be independent and free, supposedly... one of the most American things that you could be.
It certainly is.
Theory, right? If you're to believe that, the founding fathers, decided that independence was the way to go, and the best that they could do was write down some words on this piece of paper that obviously didn't work. But those were their thoughts. So
if that's true, then
it was also illegal.
Illegal. Yeah, they also stood up to the largest empire on the planet at that point in space and time.
Yeah,
and
sure, so there were the Liz Cheneys of the time who were saying, this is illegal. Yeah. You're a British citizen, and that's a defiance of our charter and our queen.
They were called loyalists.
Right.
Yeah. So aren't these actions, these discussions, aren't they the most American thing that people can be doing?
Yes. From the perspective of history, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, she says it's unconstitutional. Is she right about that? Well, only in the fact that it's not mentioned in the Constitution. So it's not unconstitutional in that it's prohibited by the Constitution.
That would be
anything like
so
that.
If it's not in it, then it's non-constitutional.
And extra constitutional?
Well, no, even that's covered. Fun fact, Amendment number 10. Literally everything that isn't forbidden is allowed, just in case you were wondering.
By the states.
Exactly.
By the states
or by the people. Right. So, okay, if the people and the states want to not be a part of this, and it's not governed anywhere else, guess what? We covered that.
It doesn't matter what the 9 people in black robes at the Supreme Court have to say about what the people of New Hampshire or Texas or California want to do. And if the people, this idea's time has come, it is unstoppable. And that's why talking about this idea is so important. And the fact that Cheney is using the term secession comes back to the conversation we were having earlier where I asked, is secession a dirty word? Is it something that we should stay away from? Because calling it national divorce isn't fooling anyone, right? You mentioned national divorce. It doesn't take long in that conversation before somebody says, oh, that was decided by the Civil War. You can't secede. So it's like you're not fooling someone into thinking this is something other than secession, although national divorce...
You're just not making them think of the worst possible version of the idea.
But they are. That's the thing. They're immediately going all the way to the worst possible of military invasion, and the government's going to kill us all. And
we heard
somebody call in about that tonight. So I just don't know if I agree that secession is such a bad term. Maybe adding the word peaceful in front of it could help mitigate that.
The one that I like that I should use more than I do is I'm going to steal from Ernie, declaring our independence.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of a, lengthy one.
Yeah, I mean, independence is a good term for it, too. I mean, might be a little overused, but independence is what we're talking
about. That's what we're talking about.
And the thing that I do like about this term is that the only thing where ordinary people deal with the idea of two legal entities being joined in a union is marriage. Like, that's the only thing that's tangible in our actual lives of the unification of two persons.
How about emancipation?
Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
Hey, this is Alan in South Carolina.
Hey, Alan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Good to get through.
Welcome.
Just about the terminology, I think that we shouldn't stay away from the word secession just because of the historical negative connotations about it. I feel a little bit uncomfortable using a word like national divorce, just because it kind of smacks of euphemism. And we hear enough euphemisms in politics, and that kind of sounds like when you talk about ESG and other things like that. Like, we're trying to put a different word on something that sounds nicer to kind of hide what we're talking about.
All right. I think that's a strong argument.
Well,
very strong.
I think independence is the right word, but the problem is that it gets used as a sort of an advertising kind of a word. Like, oh, we're an independent nation and all of that. And, well, I mean, independence is what we're talking about, because, like, secession seems to me like you are running away from this thing and it's going to come after you. Sort of the mental image that comes to my mind when you talk about seceding, like you're running off from it. And like, no, we're just going to do our thing independently over here.
I remember growing up, now I'm 50 years old, for those of you wondering, where this is coming from. I remember growing up my teen years somewhere, pre-internet, and somebody told me that Texas is the only state in the union that could secede from the United States. Turns out that that's not exactly true, but I was told that as a kid, and so that's sort of the idea that I have in my head, that one state can become its own country, and that's what I think of when I think of secession, because I'm of an age where that's
my thought process on it when I was coming up. So when I hear the word secession, that's what I think. I think it was state going, hey, you know what? We can totally be our own country. We're capable. We're adults. We know how to handle ourselves. We're capable of trading with other people for the things that we need. And, you know, we'll figure it out because, well, we'd rather do this than be told by you what to do and how to do it anymore.
Well, I mean, so if Crimea all of a sudden says, you know, we actually don't want to be part of Ukraine, but we also are tired of being part of Russia now, and now we wouldn't call that secession, like that wouldn't be the first word that comes to mind. We would be like, oh, it's Crimean independence. Oh, the Crimean independence movement.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. We could go about talking about it different. We're birthing a new nation.
Right.
Right? Are we, though? Like... Well, it'd be declaring our independence.
It would be going back to New Hampshire as an independent nation, which it was before it joined the Union. Alan, any other thoughts you want to share? I mean, what's going on down there in South Carolina? Are there people talking about this in your circles, you know, the water cooler, church, wherever?
Yes, I know quite a few people that listen to your show, and people think about it. Myself, I'm sort of a libertarian-leaning Republican, have been for a long time. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of small government, limited government. The current, you know, version of the federal government is just bloated, I think, beyond everything that was anything that was possibly imagined long ago.
Yeah.
But one thing I do wonder about, and I'm not opposed to it. I like the idea of the free state, libertarian state, but I'm a little bit concerned about what would come after. I was overseas a lot. I've been overseas a lot. And I have a little bit of a concern, like in the longer run, you know, how would a free state, how would we function, you know, in an international community where we'd have big belligerent hegemonic countries like China and Russia and whatever else might come up in the future? I worry a little bit about how that would work, how we would maintain independence in the face of that without having...
How did Switzerland do it?
Strong national defense and natural defenses, but in this day and age, I don't know if we could depend on that the same way.
Switzerland's a real small country, though, right? Like by comparison to say the United States or China.
It is, yeah. But they're partly protected by the strong Western European countries that are around.
Not during World War II, they weren't.
No, but that was their own national defense.
And that included the people of Switzerland being armed with rifles, right? Like that was
absolutely.
Yeah.
And we are the most heavily armed.
You can probably guess as a guy from South Carolina, I'm all about that. But
we are the most heavily armed state in the nation.
We got that handled here.
But when in a world community where you can have a big belligerent country like China or Russia that has no respect for civil rights, and they can come in and start
the United States of America
property, which absolutely. Well, but
so
you have to think,
why do they do these things? So when countries want to take over a region, it's so that they can tax the population and acquire the natural resources that are in that area. Now, it has to be worth their while to go in. Now, if you have a libertarian area, we are not accustomed to paying a bunch of taxes. So it is going to be really difficult for you to set up the infrastructure to even tax us. And look, it's not like we got lithium mines up here. It's not like we got a bunch of oil. So it is a high risk, high investment, low return thing. Not to mention the fact that there's a bunch of other countries around us, or one country, take your pick, that doesn't want China to be here either.
Absolutely true, but that's not really right if you're going to set up a state like that and then depend on the U.S. government to defend you.
Oh, no, I'm not saying depend on it. I'm saying that, number one, they won't bother. Because you got to think, like, why did they not take over every single little area that isn't in some giant military alliance? Well, because it's not worth it.
But if you have something they want, then they will bother. And they're doing that in several African and Asian countries right now. And other parts of the U.S., say...
China is not taking over Africa with force. They're going in and they're investing and they're buying companies and creating factories and things like that. But they're not taking over by force. So I don't know what you're talking about.
That's exactly it. And, I mean, if you want to talk about a gun behind every blade of grass... Holy cow, New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire is well armed, and it's elusive or confusing rather to look at the list of states ranked by numbers of guns, because they're relying on government numbers to tell you how many guns there are in those states. New Hampshire doesn't require gun registration.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the actual rankings, New Hampshire's like not even in the top half, I think, of states with the most guns per capita or whatever, because they don't actually know how many guns there are in New Hampshire. There's the ones that get reported to the feds, like when you buy a new gun, there's paperwork that gets filed. And we know how many people have legal machine guns in New Hampshire because those are generally registered with the federal government.
And it's more per capita than anywhere else.
Right. New Hampshire has more machine guns per capita registered with the federal government than anywhere else. And we don't know how many unregistered machine guns exist in New Hampshire. And we have no idea how many unregistered pistols and rifles and things like that. But I will tell you this. There is the kind of case study of actually living here and seeing people carrying guns, seeing people concealed carry and open carrying guns. And it is not an uncommon sight. Mm-hmm. I've seen on more than one occasion people I did not per se know.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't quote-unquote free staters or known libertarian people, just inadvertently kind of flashing a concealed piece. Like, they weren't intending to, like some guy, you know, taking his coat off or whatever in a restaurant, or a dude who was literally, you know, pulling his gun out of his glove box in a parking lot that I saw.
Yeah.
Like, it's not uncommon to just kind of see people with guns up here. So there's plenty of guns here. And you know, there's no reason to invade New Hampshire and possibly have a crazy amount of people defending this place. It's the same reason people didn't invade Switzerland. There's a lot of people who are willing to defend their homeland there, and that's true here as well.
Yeah, so even if China, completely unimpeded by anyone else, devoted all of their resources to trying to take over little New Hampshire for no apparent reason, honestly, they would probably still lose. And
right,
the fact of the matter is, why would they do that? It would be insane.
I applaud that, and South Carolina is similar. You know, there's no registration on weapons. You know, lots of people have weapons separate from what was documented when they bought it. But I don't just mean for New Hampshire. I mean for anywhere, you know, for other states. Maybe they have something China wants. You know, I just think in the very long run, it could be a problem.
Well, you got to ask yourself, which provides better service, voluntary free market interactions or socialism?
Voluntary free market interaction.
Okay, well, defense is just the same as anything else,
man. In the face of outside threats.
Sorry, what?
Absolutely voluntary free market interactions, but it is necessary to be able to defend those interactions in the face of people who do not believe in
it. Now, what you're missing is that the military is a monopoly on a service. It is a socialist program. It is forced wealth redistribution, and it's run by the government.
And it's inefficient because of these reasons.
And the market can provide better defense voluntarily for a way smaller price tag. So thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it, man. And hopefully we'll get to find out and prove that that's the case one of these days when we finally walk away from the federal government gang. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The president is meeting with the Chancellor of Germany at the White House to discuss ongoing support for Ukraine in its war with Russia.
That if he moved, we would both respond. And together we made good on that promise. And I want to thank you, Olaf, for your steady leadership.
Speaking from the Oval Office, President Biden said the two leaders need to continue to put pressure on Russia to end the war. A carjacking suspect opened fire on police officers on a busy Southern California freeway. As he was being chased, the man suddenly stopped, started shooting at officers with an assault rifle. Police fired back. The chase is continuing in the Los Angeles, Orange County area. Netflix is teaming up with comedian Chris Rock for a first-ever global live stream special this weekend in Baltimore. Rock is scheduled to perform his show titled Selective Outrage tomorrow. Dave Collins, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can support us directly, by the way, if you appreciate the message of independence and freedom and liberty and peace that we talk about every single night here on Free Talk Live. Then you can join us on the AMPS program, as Dale Chapman has done. She is a gold-level supporter, doing more than what we ask. We only ask $5 a month. Thank you, Dale, for stepping up and supporting the show.
Do you know Dale?
It's a great way. I do, actually.
Okay. I was wondering how you knew Dale was a she.
Good point, yeah. It's spelled differently. Anyway, amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. Dale actually testified at my trial. She was
I know who that
one
is.
One of the people that testified in my favor. Very, very sweet lady. Anyway, definitely appreciate the support. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And again, it's only $5 a month, and it helps us with our mission here. And you get some perks like access to the AMP Only podcast, which you can find through amps.freetalklive.com. All right, so just to that last caller's point about the fear surrounding invasion, right? Mm-hmm. So the biggest concern, I think, for most people, rightfully so, is the U.S. government
and
what they might do, because they are the psychopaths who are closest at hand. The least thing I'm concerned with is what China's psychopaths might do.
But New Hampshire.
But regardless, this is all kind of predicated on the idea that when it comes down to it, the U.S. military will keep you safe from foreign invasion. And the evidence for that claim, and he wasn't explicitly saying, but that's what this is based on.
Yeah.
The evidence for that claim is slim to none. I mean, look, for instance, one of the most recent examples is this alleged Chinese balloon
right.
that managed to float its way over the entirety of North America.
And they're like, guys, you don't need to freak out about that. These are here all the time. We let our airspace get invaded every day. I don't know why you're bothered by it.
Yeah, I mean,
what? I thought you were protecting us.
Could that balloon have had some sort of dangerous payload on it? It certainly could have. Did it?
I don't know.
But they certainly let that thing go all the way.
I don't know. They spent $400,000 on the missile that blew it up so that we couldn't find out what was on the darn thing.
How about when the people hijacked the planes on 9/11 and then subsequently rammed them into various different targets without any opposition, with the exception of the people on one of the planes, to stop them.
Yeah, and Dick Cheney, the effective commander-in-chief, specifically told them not to shoot down those planes. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to defend these people. That's what happened on 9/11, when it mattered.
Right, and let's, you know, looking at the way militaries behave, they have priorities, right? So if there's an actual attack against the United States, is their priority to keep your house safe or your neighborhood safe?
Nope.
Or is their priority to keep the Pentagon safe and the Fort Hood and the other military installations and government buildings safe? What do you think they're going to direct their resources towards? I mean, you don't have to think very hard to figure this out.
Seems like there might have been some, say, rioting that they found politically convenient in the near past, where they did, in fact, burn down all sorts of shops, and those weren't protected by this beloved state.
You're talking about Minneapolis, the Black Lives Matter?
Yes, I'm talking about the Black Lives Matter protests that burned lots and lots and lots of private property. But you know what they sure did protect? Mm-hmm. Every single one of the government buildings they didn't want burned down.
The federal courthouse.
Yeah.
That's another great point, and we can see it on a local level here, even in Keene, New Hampshire. There was what they called the Pumpkin Fest riots that happened in 2014, where a bunch of angry, drunken college students who were forced out of their parties, where they were fine until the cops showed up and forced them out of their parties. They hit the streets and they got really mad and they like burned a couch and then they started throwing bottles at one another at one point, which is an actual like dangerous thing to have happen, right? Like if there's a beer bottle full of beer or a can of beer flying at your head and it connects with you,
You're going to get hurt.
You could possibly get seriously injured from that. And where were the police during this beer bottle war that went on, which I witnessed, by the way? I got like 10 to 15 minutes of video footage of what must have been 200 to 300 people on one of the streets in the college area just chucking cans and bottles and things like that at one another. It was one of the craziest things. Where were the police? Literally around the corner, one block away. And why were they there? We asked them later on. It was like there were actually people endangering one another, destroying property, happening literally, 200 feet from where you were standing, 300 feet away around a corner. Why weren't you doing something about that? Isn't it your job to protect and serve? Oh, and then they said something. Well, we were setting up a perimeter. Or something like that.
They were making sure that this illegal activity only happened over here.
Right, yeah. They didn't want it to go to spread, but they weren't doing a damn thing about what was actually going on or trying to protect those homeowners from these rampaging drunken college students. I mean, the whole thing is just an illusion of security. From the top to the bottom, from the local cops all the way up to the Department of Homeland Security and the military.
And even the system itself, the apparatus we refer to as the government, themselves has said the police, the military, have no duty to protect.
That's right.
None. Zero. But again, look it up. It's
No obligation to protect.
Yeah. Look it up. It's there.
That's true for the military as well.
That's right.
Legal precedent.
That's what I'm saying. Cops, military, no duty to protect citizens.
Not only that.
Zero zilch.
If they think that your house is strategically in the way or your neighborhood is in the way, they'll roll a tank right through that thing if that's what they need to do to, quote unquote, protect the country.
And believe me, you will not see a dime from them for it.
No doubt.
Yeah. And what really bothers me about this is that there are these people who are so afraid of getting a different flavor of oppression. Because, I mean, look, what do you think China's going to do to me? Oh, all the same nonsense that the U.S. is doing to me now.
Mm-hmm.
All of the same nonsense that the U.S. is doing to me now, but it'll be a different flavor. And people are not willing to risk a different flavor of tyranny, even if it's a tiny, tiny, tiny infinitesimal chance of a different flavor of tyranny in order to acquire freedom, liberty, peace, prosperity, life.
Yeah, well, it is hard to get people to step outside of their comfort zone, and it's hard to get people to take a risk and do something that might be different. There are uncertain things in this realm that we want to go into, right? There's uncertainty is a scary thing for a lot of people.
What if I don't like being free?
Mm. Well, here's the thing. There's going to be some unfree places you can go to.
Right.
Massachusetts.
If you're listening
to
this,
I don't want to do things. I don't want to do things.
If you're listening to this program and you think that, you know, I've never really been able to get ahead much, mostly because, you know, this overreach of government and regulation and everything that I do, and they take half of my money or whatever it is, and you've never been able to get ahead or make much of a difference, but you do believe in the philosophy of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Consider coming to New Hampshire and being a part of changing history. That's a thing that we are attempting to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to be a part of that, get your ass over here.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's happening.
Why be historic. Be legendary. Do something that makes a difference for once in your life.
Yeah. Why do you think there are people up here making documentaries? Because history is being made here, now, in New Hampshire.
Yeah, you're referring to one of those documentaries is coming out as we speak. It's an 11-part series by NBC Boston. And before you recoil in disgust at mainstream media, they've done an incredible job.
Yep.
It's a really fair presentation. I watched it earlier this week. There's only 7 parts out. There's going to be another 4 coming. I think part 8 is coming on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
So I'm guessing the others are going to be once a week, but I'm not sure. Anyway, they are absolutely great. You can go to NBCBoston.com/freestate, and they talk to the Free Staters. They talk to the people that hate us as well. So they get both sides in this, and I think it's really well presented, well edited, really fun to watch, and worth sharing.
Well, and it seems like the big difference, at least from where I stand on this, is that they spent the time getting to know us.
Yes.
And if you
unlike
actually
most reporters.
Exactly. Yeah. If you actually get to know us, what we're about, what we want, we are peaceful people who want peace. That's it. It's really that simple.
Peace and freedom.
And look, we've spent time thinking about this and talking about this and figuring it out. And what we figured out, and look, we're happy to hear your argument otherwise, but what we figured out is that the way to peace is through freedom.
So a couple more comments here from various different magazines or newspapers and such, opinion pieces regarding the idea of national divorce, because, you know, normally they can easily write this off. It's, you know, the Texas nationalist movement, a bunch of kooks. Oh, those New Hampshire independence people. It's just a couple kooky state representatives. They don't mean anything. But when somebody at the top of the federal government, a representative there, Marjorie Taylor Greene, starts talking about it, it gets a lot more coverage. It gets a lot more response, a lot more pushback. And so some of that pushback here, according to National Review, which is a conservative publication, they claim that it is a, quote, poisonously stupid idea, while the Politico site agrees by saying that it has nothing to the idea has nothing to recommend it. The practical obstacles are obvious and insuperable, and the likely effects would be very unwelcome to its proponents.
There's nothing good about actually choosing who you interact with.
What? It's clear the country is deeply riven along political, cultural, and religious lines, Politico continues, saying further, although it's not obvious that the poisonous contention of our era is worse than that of, say, the 1790s or the 1970s, political and cultural conflict is endemic to such a large, loud, and diverse democratic country as ours. But does it have to be? Do we always have to be fighting with each other over these political things for the rest of time? Does it have to be such a big country? Well, the world proves that there's a direction things are going in over time, and that is there are more political options on the planet.
There are more choices for people as far as where they can live. Why shouldn't there be more choices within the former boundaries of the United States? Why is that such a crazy idea?
Yeah, and the more powerful the government is, the more important it is that you don't let it get wielded against you, the louder you get. So if we go the other direction, instead of having a more and more and more powerful government able to spend more and more and more money, if we go the other direction, then we don't have to fight about this. I can have my thing over here, you can have your thing over there, and we can just trade as we feel like.
But some people really love to fight. People like this Matt Walsh character, who I'm going to read his quote again, because it perfectly...
I will rule you! This is my country! You just live here!
Yeah, it perfectly encapsulates the view of people on both the right and the left, mm-hmm. the people who want to continue fighting with one another. He says, I understand the national divorce idea, but it can't happen, and besides, I'm not surrendering half of my country to these people. I'd rather spend the rest of my life fighting with them than do that. I won't give them an inch, let alone 2 million square miles. And it's the exact same opinion that I got from the Trump protesters in Central Square in Keene, New Hampshire in 2016 after Trump won the election and they were protesting down there. There was old people on that Central Square that told me the exact same thing. We can fight back. We can take back this country and we can force our view down the throats of everybody we don't like who's been trying to force their view down our throats forever. We got to keep trying to force stuff. This is essentially what these people believe.
Well, they're wrong. We don't. And in fact, what we need is to stop forcing your views, your opinions on other people, whether it's by your own individual might or via that of the lunatics in government.
And make no mistake, when he says it can't happen, he knows that's a lie.
Mm.
If it couldn't happen, you wouldn't bother talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, do you spend time talking to the corporate media about what the unicorns are planning on Mars? No.
No.
Because it can't happen.
That's a great point. And that just, you know, what he's trying to do, and what I'm going to play a clip from Laura Ingraham here in a minute, because she's also talking S about the ideas, is these corporate mouthpieces or these big government people that purport to be for liberty and, you know, freedom and all that, what they really want to do is they want to convince you that this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is, if enough people believe this is possible, it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't think it's possible, then we don't have a chance. Right? And we come up against this all the time, where people will say things like, well, you guys have great ideas, but there's just no way that it's... just can't ever happen. I've had it happen locally here, where I've called into... it's been years, but there used to be like a Saturday morning political show here in Keene, and I would talk about how we don't need to have government schools at all, and the market can handle it. And the host of the show would say things like, well, I like that idea, but it's just impossible. It'll just never happen. And it's like, well, as long as people keep believing things are impossible, then they never are. But as soon as you open your mind up and you accept the idea that this can happen, then it becomes within the realm of the possible.
Yep.
And then it's only a matter of time before it actually happens. And these people know that.
Yeah.
And they want to deprogram you. They want to keep you docile. They want to keep you in believing in the old ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm. And they know that this is a lie. And they also know that when you lie, you tell it loudly.
Big lie.
And you tell it a big lie. And you tell it over and over and over. And then people will believe it.
Here's another post that he made that I thought was another just pathetic argument. He follows up his first post about, you know, wanting to fight forever. He says, by the way, any division of the country means that the left certainly gets the Northeast, but so much of our national history is there. Would you really want to give them the land our ancestors first conquered? Hell no, not me. As though holding on to...
Wow.
The quote-unquote the history, which of course is always written by the winners anyway, but we can't let the left take over New England. They already have taken over New England. He's admitting that within the statement by saying that the left will likely get the Northeast because the left already has most of the Northeast, with the exception of New Hampshire, which is kind of like a purple state or a
Well, it is really an island. Yeah.
And that's the thing. We're not a monolith up here.
Yeah.
Like, to be perfectly honest, what I think that the next generation is going to end up seeing is that there will be a very close alliance between New Hampshire and Vermont and most of New York, not New York City, will join Vermont. And then Maine will probably end up joining New Hampshire.
Could be.
That's a very realistic possibility. Now, is Maine going to be left? No, they're actually surprisingly conservative there. They're ruled by the left.
Yeah, they're pretty statist up there. From what you see in the results.
And that's one of those things where you have to show them that it can be done before they believe that that it's possible.
Well, right. Then wouldn't they want to join us once we have that freedom? So here's what Laura Ingraham, who is a talking head on Fox News, once again, as I was saying, the conservatives are up in arms, a lot of them, over what this Marjorie Taylor Greene has said, because she has violated one of the most firm rules of politics, that thou shalt not talk about independence. Thou shalt not talk about secession. And even though she's not using those words, and she doesn't even really seem to have the concept, the people on the other side of this certainly understand the risk to her bringing up the idea of national divorce. And here's what Ingraham said on Fox News apparently the other night.
Who have not committed a crime from voting would probably not withstand legal scrutiny. And second, how would this, like a national divorce, be good for conservatism? Now, why would we want to embrace the states that gave us Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, but essentially give up on the states that gave us Reagan and Trump?
Whoa. What? This whole idea that the state gave you a certain political figure. She's saying that...
Did you limber up for that reach, lady?
Reagan... From California, right? That's, I presume, where he was born. He was a governor out there or whatever before he was the president.
Actor.
Oh, yeah, he was an actor. Was he a governor in California?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, he came from that place. And so, okay, some right-wing guy was born in California.
Yeah.
What is that? How
you know
does
what?
That even register?
You know what? The best goth club I've ever seen is out in Utah. It's a fact, because they're surrounded by Mormons.
Right.
The rebellion that exists there is more potent.
The best Texas-style ribs I've ever had was at a joint in Seattle.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is just a weird argument to start with, but there's more.
Imagine if Youngkin had given up on Virginia, or if Republicans on Long Island gave up on New York.
I'm all for it.
The Republicans in New York have basically given up because they have no chance to win anything in New York.
I strongly suggest that the Republicans in New York City leave New York City to go somewhere where they will actually get what they want.
And a lot of them have been. You can see the migration numbers where they study and they look and see, okay, well, people left California, where'd they move to? Like, you know, places like Texas or whatever. People have left New York. Where have they moved to? Places like Florida, etc. This is already happening, lady.
Mm-hmm.
People on the ground level who actually are dealing. I understand she probably lives in New York. It looks like she's, you know, in New York City or whatever. How they could be so. I mean, it just seems so disingenuous and dishonest to pretend like there's any other option besides giving up. You are outnumbered, I don't know if it's 10-1 or 7-1 or 6-1, whatever it is in New York, it's heavy. And the Republicans there have absolutely no chance of winning anything ever.
Yeah. They will never get anything done politically in New York, ever.
So the thing is, there's nothing wrong with regrouping.
Right.
It's not giving up. It's admitting that your strategy has failed. You cannot win this. We've been trying to tell this to the libertarians in New York for a long time. I mean, you definitely have no chance.
That's sort of an oxymoron, right? New York libertarians.
They're still there.
I understand
that. There's
still
some of them there.
Like, in theory, sure. But in practice, are there really libertarians in New York?
I mean, Larry Sharp's got a lot of supporters out there, but they weren't enough to get him on the ballot in 2022. Well, they had to do a write-in campaign.
Well, and here this lady is suggesting that what you have to do, that the sane response is to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. She's calling that the sane and good thing to do.
Would she?
No, that's madness.
That, not only would that be madness, but would she go a step further and actually advocate for Republicans to move into New York City?
Right? Seriously. We can take it back.
That would be...
We will fight over this.
New York, we're taking it back.
I mean, wouldn't most of the people, if she actually did make that pitch, and she's not... But if she actually did make the pitch of, all right, Republicans, come on in. Yeah, we know we've lost hundreds of thousands of you over the years, but come on back to New York City. We can take it back from these Democrats. Who would take that seriously? Yeah. Who would actually listen to that and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Let's just uproot our lives from, you know, places where we actually have some political representation to a place where it's like a political wasteland for Republicans. That would be truly insane.
No, it's important that we continue to try to rule New York from Texas. Or,
right.
Just a thought, how about we don't do that because it's insane and making everyone miserable and poor.
Right. Let me go on here with what else she has to say.
The last thing we need is an American breakup of any sort. Wow. Remember, a motto of this show, almost from the start, over 5 years ago, has been no state left behind.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because that No Child Left Behind program worked so well. We are just drowning in overeducated, highly intelligent, capable people all over the place.
This is planning to fail.
If she would have said,
right here.
So people just, they don't stop soon enough when they speak politically, right?
Mm-hmm.
If she'd have just said, our motto from the start has been no state.
Then she'd be a libertarian.
I think that would have been a much better thing to say.
But she's not a libertarian. This is a conservative talking
head.
Yeah,
she'd never gotten the job that way.
Great point. Look, this is a plan to fail. To quote-unquote no state left behind. We must continue to fight no matter how futile, no matter how many times we have failed over and over again.
I have a question. The left behind what? Like, what is moving so forward that something is going to be behind?
She's talking about the quote-unquote blue states. We got to keep fighting. We got to take them over. We got to somehow change the minds of all these people that have all these, you know, woke viewpoints that, of course, are never going to change their minds and adopt conservative views in the same way that the conservatives are probably not going to throw on drag clothes tomorrow because somebody had a drag queen story hour at their local high school.
I mean, near as I can tell, independence and freedom are the future, and so if that's true, then the only state that's not getting left behind is New Hampshire.
We're going to continue here. She's got a few more comments. You're welcome to join us. I mean, there's a lot of people out there listening on conservative radio stations that carry this show. What do you think when you hear this person, this Laura Ingraham, making these points? Are you willing to move into New York City to save New York City, to not leave New York behind? It's Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud.
Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.